Think how much better it'd been if you called her this morning on the way here. Karen's going, oh no. Going to happen to here. Maranatha.
Maranatha. It's an ancient term that means come quickly, Lord Jesus. Let's just get started before I start preaching. Book of Revelation. 1:1 reads this way. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to a servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the Word of God, and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Listen to this line for me, please. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Lord Jesus, you have done so much. But this going away gift that you gave us through John the Apostle is just perfect, because it lets us know that all is not lost. In a time that there's tragedy and grief and sorrow and uncertainty, you are there. So we thank you for that, Lord. And we depend upon that. We have many whose names have been mentioned as sick, others having tests or needing tests or results, or healing or surgery. Bless all of them. For those who grieve, Father, give them encouragement and strength. For our nation, Father, give it wisdom and proper choices in the leadership and our ability to serve them. For our military and our missionaries, give them courage to their family and strength to survive the task they must go through. For each of us, Father, may we be thankful in serving you. Bless us, Father, this day, and be with the speaker, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Trigonometry.
Physics.
Geometry. Latin. And the book of Revelation. What do they have in common? Most people stay away from them because they're scared to death that they won't understand what's going on. And if they did, they wouldn't know what to do with it anyway. I hope at the end of this period, when we go through all 22 chapters, if the Lord tarries to let us get there, that you will feel a little bit better about the book of Revelation. Can't help you much in Latin, or can't help you at all in trigonometry or physics. But don't be scared. The battle's already been fought. The Savior defeated Satan upon the cross,
and we came out of the tomb. So what we're actually hearing,
and I don't know if it's going to take 5 weeks or 5 months about it, I'm not in a
hurry. I want to
understand every word that we can, what it means and how it applies. But when we get through, I hope you say,
goodness, what have I missed
all these years? When this thing seems so frightening, it really is positive. Because when we get through with it,
here's what I want you to know.
God loves you first.
Amen.
He sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It is that simple. Now, folks, there's going to be some simple signs in here. There's such as the word stars, actually means angels or messengers. Such as the word candelabra or candlestick, actually means the churches. There's going to be some simple things we'll understand. And there's going to be some things in here that we're going to have to take on faith that God knows what he's doing, because it's not happened yet. It's preparation. And when we do, we're going to feel a lot more comfortable about it. Because we know that this is not just a hopscotch world. It is something that God has made a plan for us, and it will come true to our benefit as long as we believe and follow him. Now, Revelation does not start in Revelation. Oh, by the way, P.S., it is not Revelation's period. It is one long period of information that the angel that Jesus sent to John to write down. It's one big revelation. Say what you want to, don't worry. doesn't start here. It starts back in the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter, we get some information given to the apostles which applies to us. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when the disciples came up to him and called his attention to the buildings. "Do you see all these things?" Jesus said. "I tell you the truth, not one stone will be left upon another. Everything will be thrown down." That's an affront to the Jews because they thought the temple would last forever. Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives and his disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," he said, "when will this happen? And what will the sign be of your coming and the end of the ages?" Like us, we're in a hurry. You know, back in the olden days, like 25 or 30 years ago, when they didn't have the sonograms, most of you women gave gifts that were green or yellow. Why? Didn't know if it was going to be a boy or a girl. Most of us says, "Well, the baby will come about 3 weeks or 6 weeks or 10 weeks." And the true answer is, from the doctors I've heard, the baby will come when it's good and ready. And a lot of things we would like to predict or know for sure, we didn't because we didn't have that information. Well, that's not new. Almost 2,000 years ago, the leaders of what will eventually become the church, the apostles, the servants of God. Matter of fact, the Greek translation is even better. The Greek translation of the word servant is actually slave. They gave their lives to serving Jesus. They were slaves to him. Which, watch out, that no one deceives you, Jesus said. Now this is the key right here, please. Verse 4. "For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and they will deceive many. You will hear and will deceive many. You will hear wars and rumors of wars. But see to it that you will not be alarmed. Such things must happen. But the end will come. Nation will rise against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, earthquakes in various places. These are the beginning of the birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted, put to death. You will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from their faith and betray me and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people," Jesus said. "Because of the increase of wickedness and love of most will grow cold. But he who stands to the end will be saved." He goes on to say the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. "And when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who in Judea have fled to the mountain, let no one on the roof of his house go back down and get anything out of the house. Let no one who's in the field stop and get his cloak, his overcoat, in other words. How dreadful it will be for those days for the pregnant women and those who are nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not be taking place in the winter or on the Sabbath. For there will be great distress and unequal from the beginning of the world until now, never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one will survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. That time, if anyone says to you, 'Look, here's the Christ, there he is,' do not believe it. False Christ and false prophets will appear, perform great signs, miracles, to deceive even the elect, if that is possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. Anyone says, 'See, out in the desert comes the Christ,' do not go out." He goes on to tell them in the next about 15 verses, God has got a plan. And we will be fooled. And things will happen that we're not expecting. And things that we're expecting will not happen because we've been told the false things. There was a guy back 100, 110 years ago who figured out a great way to earn wealth. Someone would give him $1,000, and in 6 months later, he'd give them back $4,000. And they begin to tell their friends, and they begin to tell their friends. You may have heard him by his last name, Ponzi, as in the Ponzi scheme. Yeah. Liars who try to benefit themselves and no one else. I love history. And there have been some great political speakers in the past. One of the most powerful of all was a fellow by the name of Adolf Hitler, who gave long, great, powerful speeches that the people heard and they followed him to their death or to the death of others. Fidel Castro, if that's really him anymore, who knows, but in the younger days, he would convince people to do anything, even sell out their own children or the children to sell out their parents. There have been great liars in this world. And the purpose of those liars is to deceive people away from God and away from Jesus. Why? Because the devil is bound and determined to destroy the lives and the souls of everyone and fill up a place that God has prepared for him. You may use the term Hades or you may use the term hell. It doesn't matter. It's the same thing. It means separation from God. Television commercials. You know the purpose of television commercials? To separate you from your money. And a lot of people fall for it. I cannot believe that there are actually people, and if you're here and did this, I don't blame you. They could hook up a Whizmo to the vacuum cleaner and put it on their hair and do that vacuum cleaner hair thing. If you did it, don't tell me now. I like to hear about later how it worked. I mean, people believe that stuff. Well, it's no different in regular life. If it sounds too good to be true, there you go. Well, the devil works the same way. He's telling us stuff that sounds to be too good to be true because it's not. He may leave a little bit of this out or a little bit of that out or add a little bit extra here and there, and before long, it's nothing compared to what goes on. John is considered by most of the Bible scholars to be John the Apostle, brother of James, son of Zebedee. They together were called the Sons of Thunder. I can only assume because they had powerful voices. Why they have powerful voices? They spent the time on a boat. Not a ship, a little old fish boat. Bigger than a John boat, but not real big. And they would holler each other across that water. And they got powerful, booming voices. I get in a lot of trouble with my wife because she says I have a loud voice. Use your inside voice. She says the whole neighborhood doesn't need to know what you're thinking. I'm thinking, maybe they do. They just don't know it yet. Sons of Thunder. Either the power that they brought or the type of voice, whatever it was. Now, the distinction. They were part of the inner three. Peter, James, and John were the ones that went to the Mount of Transfiguration. Were the ones that were up in the top upper level of the Mount of Olives. James was the first apostle that was killed by Herod. Cut asunder, it says. Peter, we know his story, a powerful speaker, etc. But there's John, the youngest of the apostles. The one who said that Christ loved. He mentioned seven times of the relationship with Christ. He was the young. He was the tenderhearted. It was he that Jesus gave the challenge to,
the command to watch over Mary.
He said, this is your mother. Mary, this is your son. We didn't hear about a lot of things he did. We got the book of John from him. We got the books of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John from him. But yet, he wasn't the mountaintop speaker that Peter was. But you know what he was? Faithful and diligent. John, being the youngest, we were pretty sure he was the oldest, the one that lived the longest. He lived past Nero. He lived past Vespasian. And was probably about 91 or 92, he was arrested. You know what he was arrested for? Preaching the gospel. You know what he's arrested for? Being an evangelist. You know what he's arrested for? He did what God told him instead of what the state told him to do. They didn't kill him because God wasn't through with him yet. But they put him out on a rock pile. The Isle of Patmos. It was nothing but a barren area that the Romans had used as a penal colony. Not where you want to be. I can't find anywhere in the book of Revelation that John's saying, "Woe is me. I thought I was the number one favorite child. And here I am on this rock pile with nothing to do. I think I'll just sit down and write a book called Revelation." No, he don't even say that. He was glad he could serve Jesus. You know, the good thing about him going to the penal colony was simply this. They noticed what he was doing. The Romans were offended. The Jews were offended. So he was punished. And he's happy that they were so against him because that meant he was doing the right thing. What's the Beatitude say about being persecuted and reviled? Expect that. Don't run away from it. Be a part of it. So John, somewhere, probably, give or take a few months, about 95 A.D., was arrested and put out there for a purpose. Now, he's not going to be bothered anymore. They're not in his way. Nobody's stopping him. And an angel, the Greek says a messenger, came to him. And he testified the following. To the seven churches in the province of Asia. Now Asia Minor is the area we would call Turkey. It would be probably as far to the east as even Babylon or at least to Persia. It would have been those who mostly Paul had taught and preached to. And they responded to the gospel that Paul gave them. It's a powerful group. Very, very few Jews there. They weren't a very populous group. Most of them were traders or dealers, but they were people who listened. Gentiles who followed Jesus. To the seven churches in Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, who was, and who is to come. Now, there's only one other phrase I can think like that in the entire Bible. It's in the Old Testament. It would be what we call the book of Exodus. When Moses went up to the burning bush, and what was what he heard? I am who I am. Jesus. The same entertainment, same description. Who is? He's here presently. Who was? He's been around in the past. And he is to come. He will be here forever. That's a pretty strong statement. Because John knew he died at 33 years of age. John also saw the transfiguration when Moses and Elijah came to him. John was at the cross when he died. But John had the belief that Jesus was who he said he was, and he was willing to suffer and die for it. And from Jesus Christ, from the seven spirits, 52 times in this book is the word seven used. We talk about special holy name numbers. This is one of them. To the seven churches before his throne. The seven spirits. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. The firstborn among the dead. He's first, and he's dead. According to the timeline that John saw, yes, he was dead. But John also saw him come back. The firstborn that was brought back, not like the widow of Nain's son, not like Lazarus, because they were just given an extended time period, a shortened the death period, but they would die once again. But Jesus being the firstborn among the dead means that he shall live forever. He was dead, he arose, and he shall reign forever. That's a good song, Sharon. Let's get into that one time. He arose. Not like we know each other. And the ruler of the kings of the earth. Now there's the power. That the kings of the earth are going to be shown and taught what they should be doing in relationship with God and through Jesus the Christ. To him who loves us. Well, what a descriptive term that is. Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image. This was Jesus who helped God create the world. But yet he still loves us. He's freed us from our sins. Now folks, this is not
an evangelical book. The message that is given to John, who's written down and repeated for us, is about the saints, those who are saved. Can it be evangelical? Yeah, if you don't want to end up with all the tragedies that are in the book upon your head, it should be evangelical. But yet, John is writing through Christ the saved. He's trying to get them not to give in as the world has given in. It has made us to be a kingdom of priests. We talk about in the early restoration movement to turn the priesthood of all believers. If you're in Christ, if you've been obedient and confessing His name, if you've been obedient in the water grave of baptism, then you are a priest just as any other priest in the Bible. You don't have to be the lineage of Aaron. You have to be the adopted brother and sister of Jesus. To Him be the glory and power forever and ever. Ever is a long time. Did you ever notice that? One philosopher was asked one time, how long is heaven? He said, if a sparrow flew from England to Plymouth Rock the first day of every 100 years and chipped off a small piece of the Plymouth Rock and took it back to England, and by the time that rock was completely gone, that would be the first day in heaven. We can't imagine. It's not within us to understand, because there's nothing we can compare it to, except it's got to be good, because God fixed it for us. Look, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye shall see Him, even those who pierced Him. Those who are responsible for His physical death. And all the peoples on earth will mourn because of Him. So shall it be. And amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who was, and who will become the Almighty. Over the church I grew in, there were two doors on either side of the preacher. One had a big funny letter that went like this, the squirrelies. The other one had a letter that went like this, the squirrelies. I thought the first one was Ernestine Agner. Remember those shoes she used to have? No, it wasn't. It was a Greek A and a Greek O. It looked like a Q upside down. It was an O. It means the first letter of the Greek alphabet and the last. It covers everything in between. That's who Jesus is. Don't give up. We're going to stop right here on 9 because I'm not going to be in a hurry. I told you, we're not going to be in a hurry on this. We're going to stop on 9 today with just a little bit of encouragement. You ain't seen the best yet, folks. He's paid the price. He's purchased the ticket. He's made the reservation. All we've got to do is stand up, show up, and be there with Him. Our hymn of invitation, Sharon, did I write down 589?
Yes, you did.
Or 602? 589. Stand with us if we sing our hymn of invitation.